Hey guys, it's Jenna Elfman from Fear the Walking Dead. I play Laura. No, I play Naomi. No, I play June. I play June on Fear the Walking Dead. And you're listening to the Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey, I'm Lindsley Register and I play Laura on The Walking Dead. You're listening to the Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Survivors, welcome to episode 80 of Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I'm LT.
And tonight we'll be covering season 6, episode 13 of Fear the Walking Dead, titled JD. Normally we would say, but first we'll have some feedback on previous episodes, but we don't have any, probably because we were so late in getting the last episode out. So we're going to head right into it.
So it's like the, you know, Brian, it's just like that old commercial, you know, we will publish no podcast before it's time.
Yeah, exactly. This episode is season 6, episode 13, titled JD, as I said about 30 seconds ago, is written by Nick Bernardone and Jacob Pinion. Nick Bernardone is a former script coordinator for both The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead. In case you're wondering what that is, I mentioned this the last time he was a writer of an episode. The script coordinator is responsible for producing each draft of the script and annotating it for ease of use for the production team. On a television series, the script coordinator is responsible for liaising between the writing and production departments, which is basically what I said last time. He's currently a staff writer on Fear the Walking Dead, and he has written the following episodes, season 5, episode 13, Leave What You Don't, with Ashley Cardiff. That's the one where Logan is killed, the Matt Frewer character by Virginia's Rangers, and earlier in the season 6, episode 9, Things Left to Do, and that's the one where Ginny dies.
All right.
And he has also written episodes of The Walking Dead Red Machete and The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and has some credits in comedies and things like The Tonight Show and Saturday Night Live and stuff like that.
All right.
Jacob Pinion is a former writer's assistant on Fear the Walking Dead. Now, if you're wondering what that is, a writer's assistant assists the head writer or writers with essential office duties, read and type scripts, as well as print and add revisions to scripts. This job requires a distinct ability to multitask and support the needs of the writer or writers with show producers, show and studio executives, managers, agents, and actors. He was promoted from the writer's assistant to staff writer for season 6, episode 7, Damage from the Inside. That's the one with the weird walkers and the like pseudo serial killer thing with Alicia and Dakota in that strange house. And I think Charlie. Also, he wrote that episode. So he was promoted to staff writer for that, and he wrote it. And he was also the writer for Fear the Walking Dead, the Althea tapes, which was a web series that was done for last season, and directed by someone who's been on Talking Dead before, I think more than once, Aisha Tyler. And I didn't even know that she was a director until this week.
Yeah, previously on like Talking Dead, they just said she was a super fan.
Yeah. And seeing how she was on Talking Dead. Definitely a super fan and representing super fans quite well, I thought. The description from AMC.com is as follows. June splits off from the group in an effort to gather any information to help stop an oncoming threat. And that, to me, is very little of the actual story. It's part of it, but it's maybe like act, maybe the cold open. That's maybe a little more than that. Not much of it. So, all right. That's it for talking about the episode. So let's get into our ratings. LT, all right. What about you?
I'm giving this one 9 out of 10. It's a Carradine.
And LT, you have to warn me of this prior to us recording.
It's an old family tradition with my wife and I. When you rate movies on the Carradine scale, it's a running joke about how many Carradines are in the movie.
And is it like a sliding scale up or down?
It's a sliding scale in either direction. I've typically enjoyed Keith doing Westerns, but you got to admit the brothers Carradine have made some pretty low budget movies. Other than, well, I think Keith has made several bigger appearances in like Deadwood, and David made Kill Bill, but they made a lot of other movies that were not so noteworthy. So,
well, I'm kind of torn with this episode. It kind of fluctuated quite a bit. My first gut instinct of the episode was I loved it, and that's my final version of it. But in the middle, I had a bit of a there's some things about this episode that I really don't like at all. So I'm going to end up not in a happy medium, mostly on the positive side, and give it a 9. Don't think about this one too much, or lots of 9 quinky dinks, because there are some big coincidences in this particular episode, which I'm going to talk about. And I believe some other people will be as well. So, all right, let's get to listener ratings. LT, why don't you start us off?
All right. Glenn from Toronto says 9 out of 10 sharpshooters from Deadwood.
Renee from Atlanta says 10 out of 10. Teddy Bear is a serial killer. Who would have thought it? Rolling eye face.
Dieta from Detroit says 9 out of 10 sharpshooting daddies.
And Aaron from the internet, in her special way, says, minus Morgan and his hypocrisy, this was a good episode. All right. So let's move on to our awesome sauce. Awesome
sauce. Okay. Well, Diana from Detroit says, awesome sauce, the grotesque walker June ran over and got stuck in the drive shaft. That was disgustingly awesome. And the little green emoji face and the little throwing up emoji face.
They've had a few of those this season on this show. Like, they had the ones where they, like, was that the episode that John Dory died, where they got the walkers caught in the wheel well?
Yep.
They've had a few of these this season.
Been a little vehicular. Okay. She goes on to say, I watched Talking Dead, and they had all kinds of Easter eggs in this episode that Aisha Tyler directed. It was an awesome episode, and I loved it.
Yes, and in fact, there were so many Easter eggs that I didn't catch them all. But yeah, she had all sorts of different things going on in there. That they had like tribute walkers. There was one for season 2 episode 10 from The Walking Dead, the one where they see that one walker like in the field, and it's
the one by himself.
Yeah, all by himself. They had one like that. They had embalm walkers. They had a pioneer walker. They had one that was like dressed up like Negan. So there were a whole bunch of different things that they had in there. Glynis from Toronto is next. She says, so we can't have John Dory Jr., so I'll settle for John Dory Sr. A good connection and close relationship developing between JD Jr. and June, which will help both of them out emotionally. Just hope JD Sr. hangs around for a little longer and doesn't get offed too soon, considering his vendetta against Teddy. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Correct. Okay. Aaron from the internet says, once again this week, the cinematography I feel is on point. Also, the acting was really good, I felt.
And lastly, Renee from Atlanta says, June getting to meet John Dory Sr. Out of all the people in the universe, she gets to meet her deceased husband's father. Crying face, crying face, and crying face. June reading the letter and making Oh, Sherry.
Yes, Sherry.
We want to talk it's over time. This.
Yes, they do. We had to play it.
Yes.
It's a rule.
Anyway.
Okay.
We have to play over it so that they don't
copyright
us. But anyway, June reading the letter and making O'Sherry open her eyes when it comes to her and Dwight. And that is big. What kind of emoji would that be?
It looks like hugs.
Hug emoji, hug emoji, and hug emoji.
We'll go with that.
All right. What did you have for awesome sauce, LT?
Well, my first bit of awesome sauce is, I think Keith Carradine is a prime Western actor.
He is.
I loved him in Deadwood. He's got, you know, he's just got the stance and the carriage and the voice. And now he's got the, you know, he's got that Sam Elliott mustache and beard going.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, loved him in Deadwood. And the fact that if anybody's going to be John Sr., I think that was a really good casting decision.
Yeah, I don't think you could go bad with that.
And just, you know, how June met up with him and just how he went through this episode. I really think that if they can keep him around a while, it'll be really good for the show.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of the sidebar to that is, they've definitely upped the talent pool in this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, I mean, right now, especially, you know, you've got some pretty talented actors that are guest performers on, like, look at, you got, and going head to head, you're going to get head to head Keith Carradine and John Glover. I mean,
yeah,
that's going to be a pretty good stand down when it comes. So.
Oh yeah.
I look forward to it.
And the prep work for that, all the, you know, the bulletin board in the RV with all the clippings and maps and notes stuck to it, that I had commented before about how they had written John Jr. as being such a methodical investigative person. And you kind of get that same vibe with Dad there.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So definitely appreciated that. I thought it was pretty awesome that John Sr. offed our pal Ranger Hill there.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true.
And I've got this listed as awesome. And I'm also going to go back to it as potentially weak. and potentially what.
Yeah.
But the symmetry of the episode, the way that, you know, you had said it was lots of coincidences, but the fact that June met Senior and Senior helped her further her mission of what she was trying to do. And yet now she can help Senior fulfill his mission, because it turns out that his mission is linked to all the other stuff that's been going on in Damntown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just how that all neatly interleaved itself together, despite the fact that I am going to bag on it a little bit later, it was, you know, I thought it was pretty crafty. I liked it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they talked a little bit about this on Talking Dead, and you have to ask,
what?
A little ahead of time, because there was a Talking Dead. So that's my first thing to say, Talking Dead.
Yes.
We actually had an unexpected Talking Dead, because we were told originally that there was going to be no Talking Deads until the season finale.
Correct.
And LT and I are in like a little mini talk through media messenger group. It's, you know, just basically a few of us in there, hosts of our various shows. And LT was mentioning before we started recording, as I said, Talking Dead. I had no idea that there was a Talking Dead until I happened to, because I was still editing the episode 79 when it came out. Like, and so I went just for a minute on my computer and brought up the Spectrum website where you can watch, you know, what's on cable. And I see on the schedule, Talking Dead. I'm like, what? So I was shocked, but pleasantly surprised. And I didn't get to watch it until just before we recorded tonight. And it's actually a really good one too. So, so that's a positive thing. And along the lines of the symmetry, I think it's kind of cool. There was, you know, we get this stuff that John Dory mentions in an earlier episode this season, season 6, episode 4. And he mentions it, and it's just like some backstory on his father. And, you know, you don't, from the way it's brought up, you don't think too much of it. You know, it's not, it's just basically some backstory on him and, how his relationship with his father and how his father wasn't around. And suddenly it's like, well, that wasn't just a little, you know, backstory. It turns out that was foreshadowing to what you're going to see now. Right. And, you know, so, and not only was because I believe John mentioned something about, like, you know, he framed a guy. Well, it turns out not only did he frame a guy, the guy was Teddy, who's now suddenly, you know, the bad guy. And
he framed the guy.
Yeah, the guy. So that whole thing was pretty cool that, you know, that shows you that there is some thought there. There have been other podcasts that have been, we mentioned last week, you know, they've been kind of hard on the show.
Yeah.
Been kind of, you know, given the show a lot of guff about how it's poorly thought out and all that stuff. But this had some thought, I have to say. I mean, to come up with something, you know,
yeah,
that they just dropped in there, you know, and it's just some
Well, little, if you want to argue, yeah, if you want to argue about it, we can say, I don't think it's not that it isn't well thought out. There may be times when it's poorly executed, not through the fault of the actors, but just the world as it is now. There's some things that they may not have done as well or as easily as they would have, you know, pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's, I don't think it's for lack of having things thought out.
This is an example of something that I have seen over and over again in serial TV. Like, you know, I'd say post Lost, you know, post 2004 serialized television.
Right.
And that is that when you're watching the show week to week, it plays one way. And when you watch the show binging it, it plays another way. And I think it's going to come back over time that people are going to like this show more as they binge watch it. Because I think this is the kind of thing, them, you know, dropping this little tidbit in episode 4 that comes, plays back in episode 13, this is going to mean more. That, you know, so these little things, they're, people will remember them because they watched it, you know, a day or two ago.
Right.
Not, and in the case of right now, you know, they watched episode 4 in October, early in November, and it's, you know, the middle of May, so they don't remember it. So the, it's lost on them. So anyway, this is an example, I think. I'm starting to get the appreciation. And like I said, I feel that we have been liking this show more than a lot of the other podcasts that have been talking about it. And I think that this is going, this is an example of how the show is going to play better upon binge watching.
Oh, I'll agree 100% to that, because when I caught up, when I basically watched everything from the first episode again, it definitely watched better and made a lot more sense when you binge it.
Yep.
That week to week, you are right. That especially not just week to week, but with the mid-season breaks and whatnot, that watching it continuously episode to episode through the end plays a lot differently and actually plays a lot better because, as you said, things are fresher in your mind and you don't necessarily have to keep a notepad and go, well, what did this point mean when it was a month ago?
And this is something that I've noticed with The Walking Dead, with this show, with Star Trek, you know, the various Star Trek shows that, that we cover, Picard, Discovery, and Lower Decks. This I've seen with other shows. Game of Thrones, another example, I think, plays better as you binge it. So, Breaking Bad, another great example of it. I think it plays better binging. Anyway, it's, this is just yet another example. You, if you go back and binge this show, I think it's going to play better as we go. So just remember that. All right. So, let's move on to talking about, you know, things not playing so well as you're watching week to week. Let's go to the weak sauce.
You're worthless and weak.
All right. Well, Aaron from the internet says, Morgan blamed June for things he created. He made the rule which put her out, not someone else. He's the one who can't make up his mind about what to do about Jenny, and what did he think would happen bringing John's killer to June?
Yeah, I was going to put this as a what sauce, which I was going to call Morgan's misplaced anger. You know, it's kind of like, you know, if you hadn't killed Ginny, you would have been here and you could have saved her, even though the baby probably wouldn't have been saved anyway. You know?
Correct.
Like, I take June's side of this, and I think that Morgan's just hurt, and he's looking for a scapegoat, and June is the best scapegoat that he can find. Mind you, I understand and I agree with the fact that, you know, maybe the baby would have had a chance, but probably if the baby had survived, it probably wouldn't have survived very long. So, right. You know, I mean, the thing that I brought up in the last episode about in Chernobyl, there were a whole lot of expectant mothers who are still alive today, and their, you know, entire families are dead, and their babies died, and yet they're still alive, you know, 35 years later. And it's because the baby, somehow through the nutrients, or, you know, through, you know, the reproductive system, absorbed a lot of the damage that the, from the radiation.
Yeah.
It doesn't always happen this way, but there are cases of hundreds of thousands of abortions and other cases from, you know, the former Soviet Union, of women who either, you know, delivered or aborted fetuses because they were damaged beyond, you know, recognition. So anyway, I don't want to go into detail about that, but supposedly, yep, it was a thing. So I think Morgan, I understand where his frustration is, but I don't think that it's right to throw that all at June. However, he is right in saying that, and June even acknowledged it, this was the one thing that John did not want her to do, and she did it anyway. Yep. So that's certainly, he's certainly right about that, but whether or not that would have had any effect on the baby, I don't think it would have.
Yeah. Okay. Aaron goes on to say, also, how is it her fault the baby died when she said it wouldn't have mattered no matter who was there? He better be glad June is even willing to serve the community still. The nerve of that guy each week, I tell you.
Yep. Renee from Atlanta. This isn't really weak sauce. I didn't know where to put it, so it's yuck yuck sauce. And I thought that was funny, so I had to give that. And that's like puking face, puking face, puking face, and puking face. The walker that was stuck under the truck, and then when June started the car and the blood and the guts were going everywhere, throwing up face. Ew. The walker that was embalmed and his or her mouth was sewed shut looked really grotesque. Throwing up face. Ew. All right.
That's correct.
All right, LT, what do you have for weak sauce?
Okay. For my weak sauce, since we were just talking about it, our dead friend wrapped around the drive shaft. So what goes in that enormous cavity underneath the RV?
Yeah.
From my experience, the RVs have a flat floor and they have cabinets that are affixed to said floor inside the RV. I'm just like, you know, is that where the toilet tank was. It just seemed like there was a lot of space underneath that RV for that walker to get cozy with the transmission.
Yeah, the RV is now solar powered, so that's where the gas tank was.
Yeah, well, it just seemed like there was a lot of space under there.
Yeah, I would agree.
And we have to give a shout out to Bill's. Bill's, the best stock convenience store in the apocalypse. If you need it, go to Bill's.
Yep, and it seems to have an unending supply
of everything.
Yep.
Candy, medical supplies, beans.
And no one...
VHS tapes.
And no one seems to liquidate it.
And no one has raided the store.
Yeah.
That's still... when they were worried about Virginia finding John at his cabin, I keep saying, if Bill's stock is anything, any indicator of where this cabin is, it's obviously well off of anything resembling a beaten path.
Yeah.
And okay. I said something nice about it. Now I'm going to have to dish. It's like there were parts of this, as you were saying, it's kind of like a Lifetime movie in the zombie apocalypse. It's like Zombies of Madison County. It just, for all the things I like that fit well together, it just seemed like you were saying the coincidences were just, it was just almost too good.
Yeah. And along those lines, what are the odds that John Dory's dad is still alive? He's been around for decades in the area where John has been, yet they've never seen each other. They never run into each other that whole time. And John Sr. happens to live through the apocalypse only to meet John's wife after John's dead. You know, so, I mean, is it possible? Yes, of course it's possible. But then you add to it, and the person that John Sr. planted evidence on, which he mentions, you know, John mentions in that episode, right, is Teddy. And Teddy is doing the same kind of thing now that he was doing back then. And how was he doing it back then? That's what I don't understand. Was he trying to create his own little zombie apocalypse then?
Or was he just embalming people?
Yeah, he mentions about the embalming.
He was a rogue mortician, so.
Maybe that's what it was. But
yes, it was just a little too, like I said, a little too Lifetime movie.
Yeah.
But wait, you're my cousin. But no, I was adopted, so we can be married and be happy. But wait, what about your fiance? You know, it's.
Yeah. Okay. So here's another thing about John Sr. He is so conflicted about planting evidence on a known serial killer. Like they know it's him, right? There's no doubt that it's him. So he plants evidence on Teddy. Okay. All right, fine. It's not the greatest thing, but you know he's guilty.
Right.
And you know, who knows how many people he's killed, right?
Right.
Certainly not the worst person to plant evidence on. Not like a guy that, oh, I don't know, maybe you get someone to, you know, put on death row and you find out after, yeah, or you find out after he's been put to death that he didn't kill the guy, you know, that his DNA is been proven that it's not him, and, you know, it was like his friend or something, who knows. Like, so it's not like this is not a question of a person that you framed that was certainly you tried to hang a crime on. This is a person that everyone knows has done it. And yet, like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, in a way, it's, he's not the worst person to, like throw away your entire life over.
Yeah. But it's still the fact that he lied.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay.
If you look
that, at that, I understand.
Look at the way John's character was the entire time he was on the show.
Right.
And the things that drove him, and then listen to the way he talked about his dad. And then now that they've done this episode, it's
they treated him like a hero.
Right. But yeah, the end can never justify the means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though in this case, the means got the right end.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You're right. You're right. And, yeah, I can understand that.
This is the, and just for general principles, since both of us are into that as well, he's not a Cisco. John Sr. Could not do the Pale Moonlight.
Right. Right.
Because that is this classic conundrum.
Right.
Is what you did worth the outcome, and can you live with it? And the Dorys are men that cannot justify telling a lie, even if a lie is for the best reasons.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I accept that. So here's the worst weak thing of the whole thing. Coincidences aside, the thing that really bugged me about this one was June deduces that Ranger Hill is still at John's cabin.
Mm-hmm.
Why? How is it so obvious to her? Like, you know, she's like, well, he must be at John's cabin. Why?
Location, location, location.
Texas, Texas, Texas.
I would say.
Rhode Island.
Okay, Brian, I can headcanon that one out. I'll just say that was a deleted scene that we didn't get to see when June and Jenny and Hill were at the cabin waiting for John to float down the river. Is Hill's looking at the drapes and going, you know, I think I could be happy here. Mm-hmm. It's on the river. It's got good sun exposure. You know, I like fishing.
Or one of those things where it's like, you know, well, when I left with Ginny, Hill wasn't with us, so maybe he's still there, you know, something. There's nothing.
Yeah,
it's almost like a Sherlock Holmesian kind of thing. It's, you know, it's like whenever you, you know, reach the answer, you know,
it's when you eliminate all the possibilities, whatever remains, however implausible, must be the truth.
Right.
And I'm not buying it.
Yeah.
Because why didn't he go back to Lawton? Is he still, is he not buddies with Strand? Is this, is he such a lost puppy that when Jenny left that he's like, I've lost my raison d'etre. I don't know what to do. I can't be the big boss's thug anymore. I'll just stay here at the cabin.
Yeah.
Or, I know, John Dory's dead, and so I'm going to sit here and stare at his grave because I'm just a poorly written vindictive character.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's it for our weak sauce. So let's move on to what sauce?
What?
Renee from Atlanta, she says, John Dory Sr. chasing after this psycho all those years when he could have easily reconnected with his family. Why? Just why? Dwight randomly finding June's jacket. Rolling eye face. Really? You know, that was quite a coincidence. In an episode that featured many coincidences, that was a big single episode centered coincidence.
It's true. And it was so conveniently hanging in a tree.
Yes. Just happened to be hanging there.
Okay. Well, Aaron from the internet says, so June just lucks up on John's dad, but John himself never could find the man in our Rhode Island sized Texas map.
Well, yeah. I don't know. It's like, makes you wonder, like, what he knew that, Teddy was in prison. So, what was he doing in those many years before the apocalypse? Like just waiting to, count his years, just waiting for the apocalypse to come so that he could track down Teddy again.
Or waiting for his parole board to meet.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. As somebody once told me, well, a man's got to have a hobby.
Yeah.
And Aaron goes on to say, I'm no doctor, but I'm pretty sure a baby doesn't work like that to absorb radiation. Grace should still be sick also.
Yeah.
We've already talked about that.
Yeah. It's not like the baby's a sponge. You know, it's a question of like, yes, I said that there are, expectant mothers that survived, but you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that they survived, without a trace of, you know, damage. That just means that they survived. So, you know, yeah.
And we don't know what sort of long-term health implications Grace may have suffered due to her radiation exposure.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yes, I would agree. It's not like Athena baby sponge.
No. And just to tag on to the senior-junior thing, did Senior even know what Junior looked like as a grown man?
I don't think so.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. They could have passed each other in Walmart and never have known.
Well,
but, yeah, I'm still kind of on the, yeah, it's.
I would agree on the father not necessarily being able to recognize the son. I would think that the son would be able to recognize the father. So,
well, he did have the long hair and the scruffy beards.
Yeah. Yeah. I suppose that would make him look quite a bit different.
A healthy layer of hoboflage there. And you just never know.
Very true. I mean, I have seen, some makeovers that will, transform a person.
Yep.
So, all right. So what do you have for what sauce?
Well, just an observation for my what sauce. It seems like the Dory menfolk tend to get shot a lot.
Yes, they do.
There's just something about that family that tends to draw gunfire.
Yeah.
And I would also give them credit. Obviously, they have some Wolverines in the woodshed, because they also seem to be pretty fast healers and seem to be kind of spry after getting shot.
Well, I don't know if I would say that, because John in the end didn't fully heal now, did he?
Yes, but he was shot, thrown off a bridge, and tossed in the river.
True.
Because we've already established that there's an injury profile for The Walking Dead. But I'll still go with that. It just seems like that if anybody's going to take a bullet, it's going to be a John.
Yeah. Well, One thing that was kind of conspicuously absent from the things that were mentioned in the episode, like either when June first realizes that John Sr. knows Teddy, and, you know, later when they're back at the dam town, no one mentions that Alicia may be there. So I would have to say that might be a bit of a thing that probably should have been mentioned.
Yeah.
And this is both a sad and a what sauce. What is it with them always shooting horses or killing horses on these shows? So Sherry, I mean, she runs a damn horse until his heart gives out. Why? I mean, what point is that? And so she just comes up to it and shoots the darn thing. Okay. I understand that, you know, like you are not prolonging the horse's suffering, but you're the one that caused the suffering. So it's like Dwight was so right in, you know, him saying that, we'll do this my way. It's like, it's insane for her to just, you know, run the horse ragged like that. I mean, it's not like she's going to find another horse, you know?
Well, that's true. But I will go for the contention that as people talk about driving angry, she was riding angry.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think she was thinking about it. She was so focused on doing what she was doing and going where she was going that she really wasn't paying attention. And two, I will just throw out there that do we even know if pre-apocalypse, if Sherry knew anything about horses anyway?
Mm.
That unless you are, you know, a horse person, you may not realize that you can actually run the horse until it collapses. And then,
okay.
Well, and then of course it is the old cavalry trope of if your horse breaks a leg, you shoot it. So
yeah,
I just think that her shooting the horse was still the continuation of riding angry. I don't know if she was necessarily putting the horse down because it was suffering, or more so she was just pissed off that the horse had laid down on her and she was trying to go somewhere.
Yeah. Zero to Negan.
That would be correct, sir.
Yeah. And, you know, it's, well, I have something to say about that in our final notes. But I mean, it's a little crazy to me for her to do what she did.
I'll go with that.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to our sad sauce. Aww.
Okay. And we'll start off with Dieta from Detroit, who has sad sauce. June reading John's letter at his grave with his father. Sad crying emojis. And then she says all sauce. Oh, Sherry. Dwight and Sherry finally reuniting. I thought she was going to tell Dwight she was pregnant, but she said, I'm going to kill Negan. Shocked face. Sherry thinks this will make her feel better because she didn't get off Virginia, I guess. But was Sherry's beef with Virginia anyway? Was it that she reminded her of what she went through with Negan?
Yep.
But it was nice to see her. See, she is going to try and let all that go to give her and Dwight a chance. Aww. And I agree.
Mm-hmm. Glynis from Toronto. She says, that sort of eulogy for John Dory Jr., written by his own hand and read out by June, was really heart-wrenching. Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm.
Another horse in the Walking Dead universe bites the dust. Damn, Sherry. Why didn't you just listen to Dwight and rest the horse?
That's right, Glynis. Glynis knows.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have some more from Renee from Atlanta. June reading the letter from John was heartbreaking but beautiful at the same time. And she's got three big crying emojis. John Dory Sr. seeing his son's grave was sad because after all those years, this is how they get to see each other again. Sad face, sad face, sad face. John Dory Sr. being so near to his son all this time and not even knowing it.
Yep. And lastly, we have Aaron from the internet says June couldn't save John, but she did save John Sr. That is kind of an awe. All right. What did you have?
Okay. I have to concur with some of the listeners and say the letter that June was carrying it around with her and she just couldn't bring herself to read it. And when she finally did, it was under the circumstances that she did. And I think it had the most impact because I think that it helped make a bond between her and her father-in-law. And I think sort of got Sherry and Dwight's heads in the right places. So even though, yes, we will talk about the fact that it was sort of plotty, that it was, she put it in her coat, she lost her coat, but Dwight found the coat and brought it back to her so she had the letter to read. I will concede the fact that the letter was sad and it kind of got to me a little bit. And then, of course, as they've already mentioned, Dwight and Sherry trying again, our eternal couple that just couldn't seem to get things to work out and have been broken up by so many things. And so now they're trying again, and hopefully the writers won't dash my hopes, and maybe part of the vision we had when Grace was hallucinating, that maybe there will be, you know, a Dwight Jr. in the future.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I mean, come on, those two, I mean, for God's sake, man, he took a hot iron for her.
Yeah.
And I just, like I said, I know this is the ZA, nothing good ever lasts, but we can always hope.
Well, speaking of, you know, romances that unfortunately don't end up lasting in the apocalypse, you know, John and June, we would have loved to see them, you know, last. And, you know, much like on the main show, Glenn and Maggie, John and June, you know, don't last too long. But I thought it was good that that June gave back the rings to Dwight and Sherry. I thought that it was kind of like a passing back the torch to give them another chance to have a chance. So I thought that was cool. So it was kind of an aw sauce.
It is.
All right. So let's move on. We are going to get to our feedback section and let's hear Rick and Simon for the first time tonight.
We can talk about
it. Done talking. Time to listen.
And I said it that way with my inflection because we heard it three times last week. All right. So let's, we've got one voicemail and we've only listened to a part of this one. It's a bit of a long one, but you know, we only have this one, so it's fine. And it's from Megan from Pennsylvania.
Hi, this is Megan Lehman. I'm calling with some feedback on JD. And I'm going to preface this by saying I have not read anyone's specific comments or seen any reviews of this episode or watched Talking Dead or anything like that. But I am vaguely aware that a lot of people did not like this episode, just from some friends. I've seen a little background chatter. So I am a little concerned that I may regret this, but my fresh take, having just watched it once through without hearing anyone else's criticism, is I thought it was a fantastic episode. I thought it was one of the best this season. definitely a standout for me. Some of the things that I liked about it were the fact that, you know, we lost John Dory suddenly and honestly rather stupidly. And I felt like this episode was, you know, paying tribute to him in a way that we really needed as fans. It helped June work through her grieving process. It helped John's dad work through his process of all the feelings about, you know, having left the family decades ago. John got an, June got an ally in John Dory Sr., who obviously would like die for her now, you know, after knowing her for a day. And the funeral sort of that John got, I thought was really nice. The letter that he wrote was perfect. I wanted to cry with June, you know, when she was, her delivery was great. Jenna Elfman's acting was great. Keith Carradine was great. But when she read the word June bug, that really got me. Oh, yeah. But Keith Carradine was awesome, right? He was fantastic in this episode. I know of him, but I haven't actually seen him in anything. But I thought he just really nailed it. He was kind of his wily approach to the character. He wasn't a ton like John, but in some ways he was. I loved how he talked about how John loved candy as a little kid and, you know, John's light and things like that. I thought the action was okay. There wasn't a lot of action. I think two things I hated the most about this episode. One, Sherry capping the horse, which was like ridiculous. Dwight warned her she was going to kill the horse, and then she just shot it like she didn't care, and then she cried afterwards. But and then the other thing was Sherry's jacket, because she had this like long, I don't know what kind of style you would call it, but it was like a two color fade denim number that looked like it was like from the rejected, you know, Shania Twain line for Walmart 1995. It was bad. That was literally the worst thing to me. So, hey, if I can't say anything harsher than that, it was a pretty darn good episode. I like the fact that, you know, Morgan and John Dory Sr. are going to exchange information. What do we always yell about on these shows? People don't talk to each other and exchange information. Hey, they're actually doing that. Fantastic. And the connection tying back the case, which basically ruined John's dad's life and therefore, you know, permanently altered John's life by causing his dad to leave, is now, you know, back to the same guy who wants to kill everybody. That upped the stakes tremendously for me, because I actually care now a lot more about seeing Teddy get killed or seeing him thwarted, because it'll be like a vengeance for John as well. And not just like, okay, another villain we have to stop because they're going to kill somebody and who cares about them. So anyway, I thought it was a really good episode. I'll probably take some heat for saying that. I'm now going to listen to another podcast, read some comment threads, and find out why I'm wrong. I am hopeful maybe one of you guys will have liked it. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts on it. All right. Have a great day. Bye.
Well, thank you so much, Megan. I think you can feel good about the fact that we both enjoyed it. So we seem to be the contrarian podcasters. It seems. I don't know.
It's what we do, man. What we do.
We are the Russian judges.
That is correct. We are the Russian judges of podcasting.
You know, we talked about it.
So wait. So if we're the Russian judges, I guess I am the Russianest of Russian judges. Then.
Yes. Yeah, I'm part of the Soviet bloc, and you're, you know, I'm like East Germany or something. and you know, for those of you that are younger,
if you're too young to remember the Cold War, then ask your parents.
We're showing our age, but anyway. It's like we've been saying, you know, I don't feel like this season has been anywhere near as bad as some of the other podcasts have been saying it is. It hasn't been as good as, say, season 3, but it has been better it's way better than season 5. And, you know, season 4B, I still think of that stupid episode with the hurricane.
Yep.
I always bring up Morgan, you know, falls asleep in the back of the truck, wakes up in Mississippi, you know, that's too easy, but the hurricane one, you know, that was also, just some really bad, visual effects there. But anyway, I digress. So anyway, we support you, Megan. And as you can see, the, feedback that we've gotten for this episode has been overwhelmingly positive. So it's not just us. It's everyone that listens to us and gives feedback as well, seems to be, high on this episode. So, I don't know. It's just, it's like I was saying a few minutes back. I think that this season will play better as you go back and binge watch it. I agree with you on that. It felt like a good tribute to John Dory. We are all kind of in mourning of his character being gone. So, John Sr. being here, a new family emerges. I hope that, like you, LT, I hope that he stays put. You know, I mean, is it too much for him to be a full-time character going forward? I don't know, but that would be great if we find out in season 7 that Keith Carradine joins the cast. We'll see, but hopefully he won't be dead at the end of this. But you know, if he is, hopefully we'll get a good sampling of him before the end.
We'll get the epic battle on the bridge between him and Teddy.
Yeah. It's essentially all the family they both have. So I think that it's a good point that you made as well. Because June's lost all of her family. You know, we remember the tragedy of June losing her daughter, who was sick, and June went out to try to get medicine for her. And unfortunately her daughter died while she was away and ended up biting the people that were with her. And, you know, basically everyone expires.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, that is a pretty tragic story. And of course, you know, what happens to John Dory Sr.? Although some of it I would say is kind of on him. You know, I think that it's good in, and it has happened. You know, we have seen a lot of families emerge from the ashes of the apocalypse. So Junebug, I agree. That's a good point. Hadn't thought of it in my notes, but, I did get a bit misty eyed as well when I heard that. Keith Carradine, not being like John Dory, yet it still fits. And that's something, LT, you kind of talked about earlier, I think, a little bit. He is good in this kind of role, and it kind of does fit. And two final things I wrote down. Sherry is annoying, isn't she? I mean, we have talked about that, and just that whole thing with the horse. Yeah, Dwight did warn her that was going to happen, and it happened just like he said. And just like he said, the horse went down, and she doesn't. I mean, the thing I was thinking is like, okay, has the horse's heart actually gone out, or is just the horse, you know, lost its breath and, you know, needs to just. Then again, I'm not a horse expert. So if the horse's heart gave out, the horse's heart gave out. And then the last thing, I got a kick out of the fact that you mentioned Shania Twain. Because, that was kind of a Shania Twain jacket. But I think it's kind of funny because Shania Twain was born in my hometown. She was not raised in my hometown, but she was born in Windsor, Ontario. just a little bit before me. So,
I was going to say, this is the apocalypse, so you would expect things that survived the apocalypse weren't used very much. So maybe the Shania Twain collection from Walmart survived. Maybe they found a case of long denim jackets in a warehouse somewhere.
Yep. Well, you know, it is Texas. So,
well, that's true.
They probably did, have an extra long life in Texas versus, you know, cause it's denim and, you know,
no, that's true.
Sorry. Any Texans that listen to us, I didn't mean that as a slight, but, just trying to say something a little funny. Anyway, thank you, Megan, for your feedback. Don't be a stranger. All right. We've got some feedback next from Renee.
All right. Renee says, this episode, along with the last two, have really been good and interesting to me. Fear the Walking Dead is one of my favorite shows because of the relationships between the characters. I think if it were to be an apocalypse, I believe there will be, maybe not in my lifetime, but there will be sometime. This is a true depiction of how the world would be. Like I've said before, if you're bad before the apocalypse, you will be the same or worse after because that's your nature. Sometimes people do change, but 9 times out of 10, you remain the same or get worse. And if you drank the Kool-Aid before the apocalypse, well, you know, Morgan to me is a good person with a good heart, and he really wants to just take care of his people and learn to live in this new world in peace and harmony. But unfortunately, I don't believe it's ever going to happen because there are too many awful people out there who want the opposite. I at least hope John Dory Sr. and Morgan come together and take out Teddy Bear, a.k.a. Helter Skelter 2.0. Shrug, shrug, shrug. I can't wait to listen to the last podcast. Unfortunately, I didn't make it to the gym this week, so I'll have to wait another freaking week to listen to it. Angry face, angry face, angry face. You guys have a fabulous week, and Brian, continue to keep your head up and remember one day at a time. Praying hands, and praying hands emoji.
Well, thank you very much, Renee. And, and, you know, I appreciate you, your kind comments. And, I talked to Renee prior to us recording tonight. We exchanged some, kind words today. So I thought that was good. Anyway, thank you very much, Renee, and we'll talk to you soon. And let us know if you got any feedback after you're listening. All right. So next is Glynis from Toronto. She says, June had traveled 16 hours or so by horseback in order to be able to tend to Grace, and Morgan refused to let her see Grace after all that. Wow. So June is somehow to blame for not being there in the first place to assist with Grace's birth. But meanwhile, Dakota, who actually killed John, she's allowed to roam free in Morgan's encampment. Jeez. Mm-hmm. Yep. Take note, Sherry, from John Dory's letter to June. Don't waste your time with Dwight by chasing other people's causes. With Virginia, the person wanting to trek back to Virginia, the state, and kill Negan for his past treatment for her and Dwight, was a little misplaced there, so glad she decided to stay put with Dwight. Yeah, I am too. If they had started heading back, and I had this in my notes. I'll bring this up now, I guess. You know, like, can you imagine a version of the universe where they did go back to Virginia, and what would happen in that case? Like, okay, so we know, say, Daryl, you know, told Dwight to go find Sherry. So he goes back and, you know, he brings back Sherry, which I guess would be good. But then Sherry, of course, finds Negan is imprisoned in Alexandria. So what would happen in that case? Like, if you consider this from a timeline perspective, it would probably be roughly equivalent, maybe, hopefully, maybe equivalent to the time frame in the beginning of season 9 before the big time jump. So maybe this is around the time that Maggie is still like giving Negan the stare down. So what would she do? Like conspire with Maggie to take down Negan and, you know, kill him in his sleep or something? You know, like I'm just considering all that and how the universes would universe would change if that had happened. It's interesting to think about, but not a lot. So hopefully the writers will now give Sherry a better storyline and material to work with and not just flitting here and there and back and forth with often harebrained schemes just to appease the storyline and time to give that SWAT truck back to the rightful owner. Yeah, exactly. It was sad when Dwight and Sherry were looking for June. They were retracing the scene on the bridge where John, Morgan, and Dakota ran the Walker gauntlet and drove that truck into the side of the bridge's railing and where Dakota killed John. Sherry commented to Dwight that the truck had been worked on well when it started. That was John Dory's handiwork. Was it John Dory's handiwork or was that Morgan's
handiwork?
Yeah, it was Morgan that actually fixed the truck.
Yep.
Father like son with sharpshooting, both being a policeman, candy sweet toothers, candy wrapper rings, and movie watching guys. Nice background info, what made John Dory Jr. into the man we meet in Fear the Walking Dead Season 4, Episode 1. The full circle of life for both father and son all started and stopped at that cabin, and as a result, interlinks June into both Senior and Junior's lives. And then she finally says, come on, showrunners, cast Timothy Oliphant in Fear the Walking Dead 2 and make this a Deadwood party. He's also not too shabby a shot with six shooters.
And that's true.
He was also in Justified?
Justified. Yep.
Two shows I've not seen. I have not seen Deadwood and I have not seen Justified.
I watched Deadwood for a while, but I found out that I had to watch it when my wife wasn't home because the authentic frontier language is just a little bit too salty for Mrs. LT.
Mm, I see.
I mean, I was like, yeah, okay, but she couldn't hang. All right, we got some more feedback from Deanna from Detroit, who says, we got answers as to why June wasn't at the new place, but really, Morgan? You knew Grace could face complications in her pregnancy. Why wouldn't you ask June to come back or have Grace stay with June wherever she was? And that looks like a chin-scratching emoji. Chin-scratching emoji.
I wondered that, too.
Yep. How did he think he was going to get her to June in time in an apocalypse? You just can't call an Uber or an ambulance. He should feel bad because his stubbornness contributed to the loss of her baby. Out of all the juke joints and wherever they are, June runs into John's daddy. And that's like shocked face, big-eyed emojis. He has been tracking Teddy the Psycho Killer and it landed him near John's cabin. I thought this actor did an awesome job as John Dory's dad. June is allowed back into the community after she brings John's dad to Morgan. Has the other group not made it back to tell Morgan they left Alicia? Wasn't that at the end of the other episode? So why aren't they trying to rescue her?
Yes, at the end of Season 6, Episode 11, they mention it. And it's weird. I said this already, but it's weird no one mentioned it to John Dory Sr. You'd think someone would have mentioned it at some point, but for whatever reason, nobody does.
Yeah. Because you would think that all it would take is one person who was in the underground and they would talk about Teddy and that would be it.
Mm-hmm.
But I expect that maybe that plot carrot will be dangled in front of them in the coming weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And the last comment she makes is overall a decent episode.
All right.
I think we concur.
We do. So I guess we as a community seem to be in the minority. It seems like all of us enjoyed this one compared to some of the other podcasts on here. I don't have a problem with it. So, but I know other people have their opinions. I would really, Kyle, if you're listening to us, I would like to know if you agree or not. It is curious to know if he would be thinking the same things, or if he would be, bailing on us for it. I don't know, but I'd be curious. We miss you.
Yes.
All right, LT, do you have anything else?
I think I've pretty well said everything I need to say. I was going to add something that I think you're going to mention.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll let you mention it before I throw something out there.
I'm going to do it a little differently, because normally this is something we would put in our notes, but sometimes we would put something like this in the news ratings and info. I'm going to put this in info because of something that I'll explain in a minute.
Okay.
What the hell is happening?
I have no idea.
All right. So, ratings. Well, this is a weird thing. Now, sometimes we don't have ratings when we do a show on record a show on Tuesday night because they're not out yet. The ratings are out. I just couldn't find them. What are you talking about, Brian? You're very fastidious when it comes to finding ratings. Well, let me explain. So there used to be a site that I used to get ratings from all the time called TV by the Numbers. That does not exist anymore. That's gone. The site that I've been using for the past 2-3 years, I would say, is another one called Show Buzz Daily. Show Buzz Daily, I don't know if it was because of attack or just because of an upgrade that went bad or whatever, but they were down hard as of Friday, and basically they were, for up until earlier today, they had a standard WordPress site out, so it had nothing on it. Had like a something from 2012 or something like that. A basic install with nothing more than that. So they were then, we were getting what they call a 500 error, which basically means that the site was doing a hard error and, you know, contact the webmaster. Well, finally, it is back up. It wasn't back up just before we started recording, but since we have started recording, it's back up. But they don't have any new stuff in the website. The last article that they have posted is for, looks like, Wednesday night's ratings. So for 5/12. So it looks like they went to the previous day's backup and they were able to reinstall the Thursday backup for the 13th of May. So they don't have any new ratings up since. So I will have to give ratings for 2 episodes next time. Of course, we'll be watching that very closely because the last episode was the first one that was under 2 million, under 1 million. I was looking very closely this morning to very disappointing, where's the ratings? And then I was like trying all other sites I could think of, you know, other entertainment sites, and that nobody had it. Some of them had the ratings for like the big networks, but they didn't have the cable ratings, so I couldn't get it. So anyway, oh well. Because I was also going to bring up the fact that I already brought it up, but shockingly, Talking Dead was back, so I was going to have ratings for it. Well, I don't. And it won't be back next week, so we'll have to be smart asses again and give the ratings for it next week. Anyway.
Yep.
As far as the Parrot's analytics stuff, yet again, for the second week in a row, anything in the Walking Dead universe was out of the top 10. So there's nothing to talk about for that. There was a Talking Dead, as I mentioned, and the guests were Keith Carradine, Jenna Elfman, Christine Evangelista, who of course plays Sherry, Aisha Tyler, and they talked about the episode. So the one interesting thing that they brought up, and this was going to be the part I was going to bring up in the notes, but I moved it to here. Keith Carradine was shot and killed by Garrett Dillahunt's character in Deadwood. So, and he was talking about how he was looking forward to being in another role where he was playing against, or what do you call that? You know,
he'd be acting with
Garrett. They both played in Raising Hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. So another show that I hadn't watched. So he was kind of disappointed when he found out that John Dory was dead. So as far as the other news that we have is, just in case you weren't aware of it, they will be taking a week off for the Memorial Day weekend. So there will be no episode Sunday, May 30th, but it will return Sunday, June 6th with episode 15. So I think there'll be one on June 6th and then another one on June 13th. So just be aware of that. And that's it for our abbreviated news, ratings, and info segment. LT, why don't you tell people how to give their feedback and contact us?
All right. We want to encourage you to follow us on Twitter. That's at WalkingDeadTTM. Also on Instagram at the same handle. To submit your theories and feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group. That's facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadTTM. You can also email us at walkingdead@talkthroughmedia.com. We encourage you to use our feedback forum at talkthroughmedia.com/feedback. If you want to leave voicemail, you can call 216-232-6146. Remember, all of our new episodes are on YouTube. Just search for Talk Through Media and remember to subscribe and click that bell to get notified when we have new videos. Those videos go out first before the podcast hits the podcast client of your choice. We'd also like to encourage you to like and review the Talk Through Media Facebook page. That's at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia. The best way that you can support us is by our Patreon. That's www.patreon.com/walkingdeadtalkthrough. We want to thank our Patreon supporters, Clint McCollum, Renee Murray, and Lawrence Todd.
That guy.
You can subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or the podcast client of your choice. While you're there, please give us a rating or a review. You can also leave us a review at podchaser.com. There you can rate individual episodes or the whole podcast. Remember to share our posts on Facebook and Twitter when we post them and tell a friend. Word of mouth is the best way to get us new listeners. And what else are we up to, Brian?
Well, big thing that we're up to these days is the Rebinge Deep Space Nine podcast. And I know that Kim and James are still at it. I know that their last episode, they talked about Thomas Riker and the Defiant. Anyway, they're going at it with season 3 of Deep Space Nine. And we are still, I seem like a broken record about doing a Patreon, and we will do a Patreon very soon. I don't see us doing one this coming weekend, but we may. If that changes in the next day or so, I will mention it on the Honor Patreon and mention it on the Star Trek Facebook group, which is at facebook.com/groups/StarTrekTTMpodcasts. The Patreon is patreon.com/BrianandRuthie. And you can, of course, find us at the Talk Through Media, as well as the Rebinge DS9 podcast on the Talk Through Media all-inclusive feed, as well as the various feeds that you can get from talkthroughmedia.com. Or you can just search for us in the podcast client of choice, like we talked about before. The next episode of this podcast will be covering Season 6, Episode 14, the very interesting title of Mother, which originally was reported as Mom. I know that Glynis, for example, when she mentioned this in the last episode, I know she called it Mom, but when I looked it up today, it said that the title was Mother. So maybe they changed it at the last minute. We don't know who has written it or directed it. We do have a description, and it's very interesting. It is as follows. This comes from AMC.com. Alicia is held prisoner by Teddy. There, she reunites with old friends and must confront her past if she hopes to move on and escape. Now, does this possibly mean we could see Kim Dickens in a flashback?
What?
That's not true. It's impossible.
That's not true. That's impossible.
Yeah, what he said.
I mean, what if it wasn't a flashback? What if suddenly Kim Dickens is returning? Oh, I can just imagine. Aaron, what are you thinking right now?
Well, I'm trying to think, who could it be? The Vulture guy?
The Vulture guy? Or,
the ghost of Nick?
Or, what's his name? The ghost of Nick. Well, it's Mother. So it's gotta be, I don't know. And then watch at the last minute, they'll surprise another, Talking Dead on us again.
Talking Dead.
Anyway. I don't know. Then it could be, what was his name? I can't think of his name from the first season. The pudgy guy. What's his name? I can't think of his name.
I don't know. Well, no, it can't be Travis's ex.
Tobias. I don't think so.
Tobias shows up looking like Mad Max.
Yeah, I don't think so. But I don't know. If they pulled off Kim Dickens, I would be happy. Anyway, so until next time, we have some stuff to think about for next week. Until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm LT.
And this is Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.